Hello, everyone. You're listening to Bingeable with Lucy and my best friend co-host,
Emmy. Oh, that was so sweet.
It's like, this is where
I was just loving the intro.
And we are here to talk about our favorite shows, our least favorite shows, you know the deal. And today we're talking about a show that we loved that we just finished. But before we do that, we are going to talk about our favorite red carpet, the Met Ball. Em, what did you think?
The Met Ball. Okay, well, my standout moment was Suki Waterhouse, who we just spoke about a few episodes ago in Daisy and Jones and the Six. And Rob Pattinson's red carpet debut. I mean, I've been in love with Rob Pattinson for like 20 years now, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's sad to see him go, but I love them together. They were just so cute. They look so fab. They like looked like they were like laughing and smiling and happy and in love. Like they weren't serious on the red carpet, which I loved. They were like very like smiley and cute, and that was my biggest excitement of the Met Gala. I mean, TBT to when Lily Reinhardt and Cole Sprouse also red carpet debuted at the Met Gala, and that was like next level. But yeah, so I loved that moment. What were your favorite looks?
I think my favorite of it's hard to say. I mean, I thought people did a pretty good job. The theme was Karl Lagerfeld, Chanel. And we've talked about this before, but like, I just love when people are actually on theme, but make it their own in a unique way. I just hate when people are underdressed. Like, this is a costume ball, and when they are not on theme. So I thought most people did pretty well. I think my favorite, I just loved Dua Lipa in her archive Chanel bridal
wedding
gown.
Dress?
Yeah, like it was amazing. It was a departure for her because I feel like she usually goes sort of like cooler and edgier, and she just looked so beautiful and timeless and classic, and her necklace was incredible. I think it was the Tiffany necklace. So I think just that was probably at the top of my favorite list for the women. For the men, love when they come correct. I thought Brian Tyree Henry's look was unbelievable.
1,000%. I feel like him and Bad Bunny.
Yes.
Like, really had fun with it. And I just love when men have fun. Like, it's so easy to just come in a suit, obviously, for them. And they don't get the ridicule because, you know, there's only so much they think they can do. Mm-hmm. But, like, some men just know exactly how to work a red carpet. And I just loved them both.
I agree.
Loved Bad Bunny's, like, backless ensemble. It was hot.
With the floral, giant, white cape situation.
Yes.
So good.
Yes. I think and that is the so it is, they're supposed to be art. Like, this is not an award where you want to look like a little, not professional, but like, you know, you'll be remembered for this dress if you win forever. Like, I feel like this is just your moment to be as ridiculous as possible and like have as much fun as possible.
Yeah.
And
completely.
So I love when they bring it.
Completely.
I think my favorite was randomly, she's just having this, she had her two kids. She's now looking better than ever, having this like style rebirth. I think Anne Hathaway just looked phenomenal.
Yeah.
I loved her kind of like Amy Winehouse-esque hair. Mm-hmm. And that like kind of ripped and pinned, like deconstructed tweed ensemble.
Yes.
Just perfect.
So good. She has really come back with just look after look after look recently after she stepped away for a while because everyone was hating her, and then she came back and is like, we all die for her again.
Yes. Well, I feel like it's like when she did We Crashed, she just like had this whole, I don't even want to call it a glow up because she's always been flawless looking, but I feel like she just like has decided that she wants to have like fun with style again.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like back to Devil Wears Prada-esque fabulousness. I don't know.
Completely.
I just think everything she wears, is so fun. She's also dressing like a lot younger, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like she's making
looking
it
just
like a
hot.
Statement. Yeah, well, she's like, I feel like expressing that you don't necessarily have to dress like more conservatively with age. Like you can still have so much fun and like try so many different things. And I just love that for her.
Yeah, I totally agree.
We loved Keke Palmer.
Mm-hmm. Loved Keke Palmer. Loved Emily Blunt in the pants with the cape. A lot of people did like a cape or like a train kind of thing.
I love the capes are in with pants. I'm very excited about that.
Kylie Jenner in that red dress looked beautiful, but not on theme. I'm like, this is...
Apparently it was Chanel. Oh, no, it was Jean Paul Gaultier. I lied. My mom gave me misinformation. You can block this out.
Well, blame D.
Stand corrected.
But, like,
yeah,
you know,
she looked so hot, but not on... Like, you want all of those classic Chanel elements in some way.
Yeah. What did you think about our number one girl, Elle?
Oh, my God. So, Elle is my style icon.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure. I think I just, like, don't... I think I needed to do more research. But, like, I didn't get how exactly it was on theme.
Okay, did you read her Instagram caption? Because she explained it all. And I wish had done it. Okay, so
You know I don't read.
When she was 13, her first Chanel... Or, I guess, her first show that she went to was Chanel. And then Carl did a photo shoot with her, and she was wearing this white dress, and it was like the black jacket photo shoot that I guess is, you know, a lot of people have these classic images that he had styled with them in like a classic black Chanel tweed coat, and he put on her a daisy flower crown in that
okay,
photo.
Okay, I'm seeing it now. I'm seeing the original photo.
So she
everyone
did
should
like,
look this up so they're not as ignorant as I am.
So that was her kind of play on her first memory with Carl. I do think the black ribbons were really taking away.
Yeah.
I wish that was not part of the crown.
I love that original image. Now I'm obsessed and it's very cute.
Yeah. It's a nice little sentimental thing when there's like a whole story behind it. But, you know, it has to still work. And I feel like it was almost there. But
it was almost. It was close.
Yeah.
Loved Cardi B. I feel like she just like does a really good job with Mecca because she knows how to be like fun and I feel like she's just not scared of anything and that just helps so much.
Completely.
At the Met Gala.
Completely. Same with Lil Nas X, obviously.
Oh my God.
Unbelievable.
I loved all the cats. Loved all the, I mean, except for Jared Leto. I could have done without.
It also just Doja Cat and Lil Nas had such a better
yes
take on it that I was like, oh, you're just in like a fursuit and theirs are much
you're
more
just
fun and inventive and fashion.
In like a Disney World costume at this
right.
point.
Yeah.
I actually loved Jenna Ortega. I feel like she's just really, I feel like she has such fun young set, like she's just owning her being kind of the it girl and she's mm-hmm. taking risks and she's like having so much fun with it. You want to know whose makeup was flawless? And then I'll end.
Who?
Jodie Comer, our girl from Killing Eve. She wore Burberry and she wore this dress that's like had such tiny feathers that it almost looked like tweed. She looked like really beautiful. I don't think it was like one of the best dresses, but I think she just like looked like she just looked flawless and I really I miss her so much. Apparently she is killing it in that play. I feel like the world is just her oyster. People think she might get a Tony for her in the play that she's in.
Wow, I love that for her.
Okay, I could talk about the Met Ball forever, so
well wait, we have to talk about the queen who showed up hours late.
I mean, I just like does not care.
I love it.
Not that she doesn't care. I feel like she's just, like, on her own timeline. And she's like, you know, if you want this photo of me so badly, like, I feel like she's like, I would be down to stay home, but you guys really want to see me, so I'm going to come when I feel like it.
Yeah, you can wait. I'll be there when I be there.
And then she always, like, she knows how to shut it down.
Oh, yeah. The white coat situation was amazing.
Her sunglasses with the eyelashes.
I just feel like, honestly, anything she does, I'm just into. Like, her and Blake on the red carpet are just always going to be the queens.
Really miss Blake this year, honestly.
I know.
But I get that she has four children now, yeah, so that's a lot of work.
That could be it. That could be why. That seems like a lot. Okay, well, should we pivot to Shrinking?
My favorite show of the year, for sure. Yes.
Wow. Okay, what are we, 5 months into the year? We already have a favorite of the year. Tell me everything.
I think it's going to be my favorite. Okay, so for anyone who didn't watch the show, which again, I don't know why you would be listening to this podcast because it's full of spoilers, but essentially it is about the main character, Jimmy, Jason Segel or Segel?
Segel, but I love Segel. We can call him Segel.
I don't know what I'm, Huda. I'm making him like European or something. But yes, so he is a therapist along with Harrison Ford and Jessica Williams, who we'll talk about. She's amazing. And his wife has recently passed away. He has one daughter. And so basically this is, I think it's like a year after his wife passes away and he has had this like hit rock bottom. He's now trying to, you know, kind of get his life back, get his career back on track, get his relationship with his daughter back on track. And so this is kind of his journey.
It's so good. It's also written and created by Brett Goldstein, who did Ted Lasso. Mm-hmm. So love I feel lives. Like... Love of our lives. He's brought so much into our lives in the past few years. It's kind of
so much
crazy.
Goodness.
So much
in
goodness.
In this insane,
like,
horrible, crazy world, I feel like he has given me so much joy.
He really has. I really appreciate that. So thank you to Brett. Thank you to that man. I just feel like I've never really seen a show in this world before of like the therapist who's hit rock bottom, which I think just... If you just said that and you were like, but it's kind of a dramedy, you would be like, oh, I'm interested in that. Like, that's a very simple, and I'm surprised it hasn't been done before. Maybe it has. I mean, I know that show,
yeah.
Monk, right? Maybe Monk was about that with Maisel's dad. But anyway, you know what I mean? Like, it's a very specific, but very sort of like obviously fun, interesting world to live in, especially I think because... At least I never realized until I had friends who are therapists. I mean, we have both of us many friends and mutual friends that are therapists. And like, I never realized how much the practice and the group of therapists and like having a mentor and having a supervisor and like talking about your clients as a team was part of it. But it is. And so it's fun to see these three therapists kind of work together.
Well, and it does like, you obviously know that your therapist is human, mm-hmm. but you're kind of like, especially when, you know, you've hit rock bottom yourself, you kind of put all of your trust into your therapist and you're like, okay, this person will cure me. And it is such a fascinating thing because that's just not how life works. And like, obviously, if I'm having a bad day at work, I can be in a bad mood. But like, if you're a therapist, it's like one of the only professions that you have to just throw everything out the window.
Well, you should be completely present with the other person. But as we see with Jimmy, Jason Segel's character in this, is that he is living through this trauma and trying to claw his way back. And he can't, I mean, in the beginning, he's like really having trouble doing that. And it you're right. You never think about your therapist having like a life of their own. Like, can you imagine?
Don't even have the option to like go in. Usually you don't really like get to ask your therapist, like, how are you? What's going on with you? What's bothering you? And like, you know that this is a person who probably has all of these things going on in their lives. I also feel like in general, you kind of get into, a lot of people get into a profession of something that they've had like a personal experience with or like a mentor who helped them. And so, like a lot of therapists also have relied on therapy. Like,
oh, yeah. I think you have to. Like, I think you have to have.
Yeah.
Well, you definitely have to have a supervisor. Maybe you don't have to be actively in therapy, but, like, I'm sure most of them are.
But you probably had your past trauma that has, like, led mm-hmm. you to want to help people in this
way. Right. Because it's helped you in some way. But you just, it's yeah. like, in Mean Girls, when they see Tina Fey at the mall and she's, like, seeing a teacher outside of school, say, seeing a dog walk on their hind legs, I feel like it's the same thing. Yes. Where, like, if you even imagined your therapist, like, any time that you feel like they don't even exist outside of like your 50-minute
you're like you don't get drunk and yeah, and like, party on the weekends, do you?
You don't have a life. And in the beginning, I mean, Jason is doing, I mean, is he doing coke in the beginning, or he's doing like Adderall?
Yeah, he's doing like
escorts,
drugs for sure. Yeah,
not doing
and,
well.
And then he like gets dressed, goes to work, and gives people advice.
Do you know what I feel like he needed at the beginning of the show to like be what? Able to magic mind.
Definitely needed magic mind.
Magic mind, we have been loving. We talked about it in the last episode. It's our matcha energy shot.
As we said, it is, you know, a good substitute for the drugs that Jason Segel was doing in that scene.
Or coffee, whatever, you know, whenever yes. you need it. It's
a more
great
soothing
substitute.
Start to the day.
Exactly. And it really does, the more you take it, the more you start to feel it. It has that effect where it's sort of like, it becomes part of your routine and you kind of crave it in the morning, I think.
And I've been having it with ice and a little bit, like a little splash of almond milk, just to kind of Ooh. Make it into more of like a latte for myself.
I love that.
And I'm loving it. I can have it while I'm getting ready for work, and then I'm like evenly energized throughout the day.
If you want to try it, go to magicmind.co/bingeable and get up to 50% off your subscription for the next 10 days with our code bingeable20. Okay, yay. Anyway, we love Jimmy, obviously.
You see like the layers to him. You see the complexity to his acting. I adore him. I love him so much. He's like a big goofball with like such a heart.
Yeah, I loved the tone because it really was that, where it's obviously really complex and layered and about grief, and really there's some really, you know, difficult moments to watch, you know, especially for me. I lost my mom when I was 10. So there's like moments where there's a scene when he's looking through the scrapbook of photos of them and crying and talking to his wife. And I think it's the same episode where he takes his wedding ring off. It's like a few yeah. before the finale. And he's crying as he's saying, you know, it was such a fun ride that they had, this such a fun time that they had together. But it just was so moving, because there is just a type of crying when you are going through grief that just comes out of you, even when you're laughing and even when you're just moving through your day, and it just comes out. And I thought that was such, it just really resonated with me. And it was, you know, he has these really beautiful dramatic moments.
No, I thought this was such a perfect role for him. And even like his acting as a therapist, his acting as a father. I thought that this show was the best chemistry I've seen from a cast in so long. Mm-hmm. Like everyone just felt so natural and like easy with each other.
You really could feel the shared history between all of them. And as it goes on, we learn more about how they all, you know, became friends or became coworkers, and how Jason Segel's wife in the show, how she was sort of like the glue of everything. And I also thought that the way that they dealt with her character was really well done, because it's such a pet peeve of mine when there's a character who's not in the show, but everything is about them, and it's like too much kind of about this character that we don't get to see. But I feel like she was obviously part of the show. There were some flashbacks, and yet it really was about the people who were still there and how they were moving through life without her in their own kind of way. I don't know. I just thought like the balance of her character being part of the show but not being present was done really well.
When I loved that episode, and it was also like heartbreaking at the same time, where when he, you know, was confiding in Gabby that he feels like she they weren't in a good place. And you kind of saw, like, the fighting, and you saw the little, like, just bits of them not getting along. And then you got to see, like, Gabby being like, no, she was looking at you this way on this night when you were making this speech. Him at the end being like, every second with you was the best second of my life. And it killed me.
I know. There were so many moments that I just was crying and, like, clutching Morgan's hand. And, like, it's just so heartwarming and sad and funny and just all of the things at once.
Well, it's, like, this story of life truly going on and, like, how it's possible to laugh again and it's possible to find new things you love and that keep you going, but you don't lose any of it in the process. Like, you still have the whole before. Completely. When you're trying to move through the after.
I was just gonna say, it kind of reminded me of that quote that Lea Michele had when she was on Ellen when Corey Monteith died, which, like, I will never forget where I was when that happened at Shore no, Bar in Santa never. Monica. We literally were texting, like, holy fucking shit, is this real? So sad. But she was on Ellen, and she was talking about that she went back to work on Glee pretty soon after it happened, and that she was getting this backlash, and she was saying, like, grief just follows you wherever you go. So, you know, whether you're at home and dealing with grief, or at work and dealing with grief, it's always there. You just have to find a way to experience all of these things in your life with that as part of it. Like, it doesn't go away no matter where you are. So you might as well at some point try to be like, this is me having, like, a proposal in my house, like Jason Segel does, and also dealing with grief. Or, like, this is me at my kid's soccer game with grief. Or, like, this is me at work, you know? And they just did a good job of really showing how, like, life does. Like, the sun still comes up. The days still, you know, happen every day. And you just have to find a way to somehow keep moving.
And I think it was so nice. Like, it showed, not so nice, but I mean, beautiful that it showed everyone, like, it wasn't just Jimmy that was dealing with all this. Like, Gabby wasn't around that much for Alice, and you didn't necessarily see how she was grieving in the way that you saw how Jimmy was grieving, but you saw that, like, she had this whole period of also, you know, figuring out how to get through the day, and Alice had to rely on other people, and, like, Brian thought that his relationship, like, they all figured out eventually how to move through it together, but they all, you know, had to deal with things in their own way. Their grief all happening parallel, but not necessarily together at first.
That's so true. But what did we think about Paul? Because I just love everything about him.
Okay, so I have just watched 1923 with Harrison Ford, and I can't even believe that these are the same people. I just, like, want to hug Paul at all times. Paul is exactly my type, like, the type of humor that absolutely kills me. And, like, him and Gabby's relationship especially. Oh, my God. Like, just incredible casting. Their dynamic with the water bottle. Mm-hmm. Like, the episode where he gets his produce delivered, and she's like, I have so many questions. Why do you get your produce delivered here? Are you cooking here? Do you not have a kitchen at home? Like, why do you have so many potatoes? Like,
it's so good.
And everything, just like he was very much like Brett Goldstein's humor kind of too, in that, like, he just commuted everything with a look. But it was so lovable. Like, it wasn't ever for a second rude or, like,
unlikable.
Like, exactly. It was just, like, the warmest grumpiness. That's how I'll describe it.
Completely. And I also just loved how, I mean, we have to talk about Gabby in a bit because I literally, I have no words for how much I love her. But Paul and Gabby's rapport, like you said, was just so funny because they could not be two people who seem more different and just have the best chemistry. But also I loved his relationship with Jimmy, and that, you know, we don't really get to see much of him being a therapist. Like, we don't really see him with his patients. We see him dealing with Gabby and Jimmy and talking to Alice, but that moment where he comes through for Jimmy and Jimmy like needing help and how he can break through, you know, with Sean, and he comes in with the beer. You see why.
You're just like, this is the boss.
This is the boss. You see why he's the boss. You see why he ends up getting the Lifetime Achievement Award. You just see how good he is at his job in a way that, like, Jimmy is not able to do. And I just love that because it was, like, so, you know, the only time we really get to see him do that, and he just did it so well. I was like, I want all of them to be my therapist. Like, I'm like, where do I find therapists like
this? The whole group. Well, and I think it was so interesting to see, like, the different therapy styles, because there are different types of therapists. Some just, like, let you do all the talking and essentially just, like, are there for you and let you, like, process it on your own, I feel like. And some communicate a little more or give you a little more advice. But, like, sometimes, like, you want a therapist like Jimmy who just, like, tells you what he thinks, no bullshit, and, like, gives you exact advice or calls you out. Like, that's what you think you want. Paul's style, just in that one scene, actually, like, is so effective. And, of course, like, Jimmy's, I mean, at the end... We'll see. Clearly, you can't make jokes with your patients, I guess. But it's like all different types work with people. And I feel like that was so interesting to see.
I want to talk about Gabby, but I also want to talk about Liz.
Okay, well, I think this will be fun because your favorite is Gabby and I think my favorite's Liz.
I love that for us. Okay. I just feel like Gabby, everything the actress did was so natural and also so specific and seemed like she was not, you could not catch her acting at any point. She was so funny. She was so, like, her comedy was so specific. She just killed me. Like, everything she did, she was, and then also so smart and just, like, so cool. I just loved her as a character, and I love her as an actress now. And I just, I mean, the scene when she, first of all, when she's just, like, singing in her car and is like, new Tesla, bitch, like, to herself, killed me. When she, like, her friendship with Liz killed me. But when she was at her ex-husband's art show and then goes on the, like, rant as she's leaving, but she's also, like, talking to the girl who thinks she thinks is really cool. Yes. And she's like, I'm sorry you had to see me like this. I think you're so cool and dope. I love everything about you. Like, I was just, she is, like, just killed me.
Well, that's, and also just, like, she is, I feel like, the prime example of how incredible she was able to have such perfect chemistry with every single character. And this is, like, a range of age. Like, you, I would never know how this cast was necessarily gonna, like, mesh because it's such a range. And I feel like she was just so, like, you really thought that she was best friends with absolutely everyone in the cast.
Completely.
And she just, her humor, her outfits, which obviously is the stylist, but still, they're just matching her personality, everything. And, like, her confidence, her, like, ability to just be so straightforward about everything, her relationship with Alice, like, I feel like she was just the realest of the real. And, like, her acting seemed like the realest of the real as well.
I'm still processing how I feel about her and Jimmy. When it first happened out loud, I was just like, I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. It was like, maybe I don't know. I don't know.
I think I'm still no. I think I'm still very out. I don't know. I was so, and this is like a testament to the show. Like, I loved this show so much. I'm saying it was my favorite show. I literally was jumping out of my skin every time they got together.
Yeah, it just feels, it feels wrong. It feels like when Joey and Rachel are hooking up in Friends. But you understand from, like, you know, as Jeremy Strong, our number one boy, once said, I understand it dramaturgically. Like, you understand why.
See, I don't know if I do.
Yeah, I mean.
But then you're like. Yeah. Wait, if this actually happened, like, these two people understand each other more than anyone else. Like, they, like, her best friend, his wife, like, they have this special bond. They work together, which also adds, like, a whole nother level of, you know, complication. But at least they immediately told Harrison Ford, which Paul, which also was, like, I feel like it was so cringeworthy, but the show knew how to get me through it, you know? Like, I I was still there. I was willing to be on this journey. I hated it. Yeah. I liked how involved I felt, if that totally. Makes sense.
Totally. Like, very invested. I liked invested. How much.
Yes. And then I was also thinking, like, I don't, because I was trying to be in, like, Tia's shoes the whole time. And I was like, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's maybe messy. I would want this. I don't know. Maybe I'd want, like, I don't want anyone random, you know, in mm-hmm. my house with my kid and my husband. But I don't know. I don't know that I'd be able to.
Yeah.
I need to not look down on my best friend for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a little tricky. I had been thinking all along, like, is Alice a little too evolved? Like, is she a little too understanding? Yeah. And then when that happened, I was like, okay, she should be, like, as freaked out and grossed out as she is. But, like, maybe even more so? I don't know.
No, this was my biggest problem with the show. Alice has been through hell. She had, like, an absentee father, and she's somehow come out, like, pretty okay. Mm-hmm. And, like, a pretty great kid. And she has this amazing relationship with Paul. She has this amazing relationship with Liz. Like, her life is pretty much together. And when they, like, lost their shit, I get that, like, he had to be a parent and, like, had to, you know, show her some authority. I get that that was, like, part of his lesson from Paul. But I was like, okay, the worst thing this girl has done is go home with a college kid after, like, the year she's had. Right. You're lucky, you guys.
Totally. No, I completely agree. I guess the whole thing with her and Sean, which I love Sean so much as a character, I guess that was supposed to be her, like, acting out, but, like, even that didn't feel that bad. Like, she was just confused and he, like, gave her attention
and she got over the Gabby and Jimmy thing pretty quick.
Yeah, like, she seemed to be, like, getting over things quickly and, like, forgiving people sort of quickly and, like, not really acting out that badly. And I was like, maybe we're giving her a little too much credit than, like, you know, a 17-year-old really would be.
No, 100%. The casting of Tia and Alice, they looked, oh my God, identical.
It's crazy. Identical. How did they find them? Incredible casting. We got to talk about Alice's sort of surrogate parent as she's going through all of this, Liz, who we love. We love Liz.
I am just upset. I also feel like she seemed like someone, like, you know, just your neighbor that knows everything about you, but, like, you also aren't really, like, best friends with. But, like, hears you fighting and, like, sees your kid every day go to school and, like, says hi to you every day in the driveway. And then, like, you slowly start to form, like, some sort of a bond, but you're still, like, neighbors. You're not, like, best friends. Mm-hmm. And then, like, at some point they're, like, family and you just don't even I feel like that progression was so realistic and relatable. Yeah. And Liz just absolutely killed me. I mean, I just was obsessed with her, like, self-awareness, her relationship with Derek, who was fantastic. So good. Like, they killed me.
Her, like, desire her rock. To be cool, her rocks, like, wanting yes. to be friends with Gabby. And when she was like, all my other black friends do this, and Gabby's like, you don't have any other black friends. She's like, I know, but I want to. Like, it's, like, so yes. accurate to that person.
Just so, and, like, the fact that she's supposed to be, like, a Pasadena mom.
Mm-hmm, wearing this, her golden like, goose sneakers.
How all her boys, you know, were off to college, and she was really trying to find, like, her purpose. Just everything about her. When she starts, like, when she decides she wants to fund the food truck and be involved. Yeah. And what is it? Gabby's like, you're afraid you're going to look like Sandra Bullock in The Blind Side. She was like, exactly.
Exactly. The scene that you were talking about a second ago where she finally tells Sean she wants to be involved in the food trucks. And she's, like, vulnerable for a minute. And he says, you know, in his sweet, loving way, you know, I'm going to go look at food trucks right now. Do you want to come? And she says, really? And the way she said it, I'm not kidding, I started crying. Because I was like, that's so sweet that this woman is so touched that somebody wants to be including her in what they're doing. And it was just such a sweet moment.
And I love that you, like, see her as this kind of authority figure parent in, like, the first episode when she's breaking up, you know, what's happening at Jimmy's house and cooking for Alice, the mother figure. And then you, like, see her more as, like, her whole own person, her relationship with Gabby and starting this new career venture. And I feel like as she was finding herself, like, you were learning about her. It was kind of happening with the audience. And I just absolutely loved that. I feel like that's going to be me as a parent. I just, like, just trying to find drama somewhere to get involved in.
And they just did such a good job of showing all of these characters at all of these different ages, you know, from Alice to Paul, that they're all dealing with shit and they're all going through things. And you're, like, always trying to find how you move through the world and, like, deal with issues in such a real way.
And I feel like it's, like, when you're a kid and, you know, just until, like, up until a few years ago, you, like, think the adults and parents have, like, all the answers and everything figured out. And you definitely think that, like, I don't want to say the grandparents, but, like, Paul's age. Mm-hmm. Paul is a grandparent, so that's okay.
That's true. That's true.
Like, you definitely think that they know everything about the world. And you see that they do learn a little bit more, but, like, absolutely no one has their shit together.
The last moment when he says, excluding the kind of, like, epilogue bit with the cliff, what I kind of am thinking about is, like, the last moment of the show when, at Brian's wedding, when Alice and Jimmy are dancing and he looks at her and he says, "You look so much like your mom." I oh my God. I mean, immediate tears. I could cry right now thinking about it, because, like, I just know that when you are any age and, you know, you've lost your mom and somebody tells you you look like her, it means so much for somebody to say that to you, at least to me, that I just imagined what it would feel like for Alice to hear that. And it just is like, you can't even put words to it. And it's so happy and joyful and sad and filled with so many emotions. And I just thought that was such a perfect ending for the season. I mean, I hope not the show, but at least for the season. I thought it was so moving.
I have chills. I know. Well, and it was so beautiful because it was the first or second episode when he's kind of having it out with Alice and they're just still trying to figure out their relationship and how he can get it back. And he's like, "I mean, you just look so much like your mom, so it was really hard for me." Yeah. And then at the end, to see them dancing and him having the biggest smile on his face and being so happy and being like, "You look so much like your mom," in, like, such a loving, beautiful way. You're just, it's like such a good full circle moment for the season and just
completely. But this is my one question, and I'm gonna be brutally honest. I loved the first season of Ted Lasso. I could not get into season two. I haven't been watching season three, but from what I've heard, it's kind of weird. And I'm just wondering if maybe a show that is so specific in tone and story, like Ted Lasso and Shrinking are, we want a second season, but do we think it's going to be, can they maintain it?
So this is how I feel about a show like this going on. Best case scenario, we have an incredible run, and I'm, like, so amazed that they made it as good.
And you're worst watching case scenario, season 16 a la Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. I'm watching season 19, so I'll tell you.
Oh, my God.
And it was renewed for 20, so no. Don't even worry.
Okay, anyway, interrupted. Worst case scenario is what?
Worst case scenario is it's bad, and it makes it easier for me to say goodbye. I feel like I get so attached, and, like, right now I can't imagine, like, never seeing these characters again. Mm-hmm. But, like, Let me bring you back to, say, The Vampire Diaries. You know, when that show went off the air, it was easy for me to say goodbye at that point. Ted Lasso is tricky. I think there are some things behind the scenes that are rumored to have, like, affected it. I think it's been better. I think it's getting better. I still, mm-hmm. like, love the acting in it. And yeah. I still love the characters. This, I mean, what did you think of this ending.
I mean, I thought it was funny. I think it was silly and funny. And I do also think it was kind of a nice callback to, like, how crazy he's being as a therapist in the beginning. And as it was happening, I was like, I don't think you're supposed to, like, do this as a therapist. Like, this feels like we're crossing some boundaries. So the fact that maybe some of the, you know, let's say non-traditional methods that he has may really have been more of a detriment than he thought. I could watch that. I could see how that plays out. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and, like, think about it. This is going to be such a ripple effect. Not only is it going to affect him, it's going to affect Paul, it's going to affect Gabby. Also, he has Sean, who we didn't even talk about, who just love him with my whole entire heart, living with him. So, like, when he inevitably gets investigated and then one of his patients is living with him, like, that's going to be a disaster. And he's going to have to admit, like, he literally said, push him off a cliff, push him off a cliff, like, as a joke to her, to his patient. That's not going to look good.
No. I'm not in the midst of watching anything. I need a new show. I have three in mind. Tell me what you think. I'm thinking either Industry, which I've heard amazing things about, and then Bad Sisters on Apple, I've heard amazing things about.
I heard amazing things about Bad Sisters. And the girl in it, one of the girls in it, I think Sharon Hogan or something, was the star of Catastrophe, which is like an Amazon Prime British show. That is incredible. So I feel like I would definitely watch Bad Sisters.
Should we do Bad Sisters for our next episode?
Well, we might have. When is Succession over?
Oh my God, you're right. It's over on May 28th.
Oh my God, that's really soon.
I know. It's really soon. So maybe, I mean, we'll have to do that finale. And then maybe Bad Sisters after that.
Yes, I actually will start Bad Sisters because our neighbor, Neil's best friend, just started Bad Sisters as well and told me to watch.
Cute. Okay, yay. Well, that's a plan.
Perfect. Thank you guys so much for listening.
We'll be back soon with the Succession series finale.
You'll be hearing from us soon.
Talk to you later.
Bye.